In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. As we look at the letter to the Hebrews, we must think about where these people are coming from. These are Jewish people who have accepted Messiah and have come into the church. They were the first Christians, as a matter of fact. But, you know, it's very difficult when you're under persecution to think about, you know, we celebrate the Eucharist with bread and wine, and we remember Jesus, and we make present Jesus, but you know what? It's not like it used to be. In the temple, the beautiful vestments of the high priest and the ceremonies and all those things that we had, we don't have any of that here. And we're very, very poor, as a matter of fact, liturgically as compared to them. So they were having thoughts and questions about following Jesus, not only because of the beautiful liturgy in the temple, but because they were being persecuted. And when you're being persecuted, my friends, it's very difficult to keep on going straight. It's very difficult unless you have the grace. So I'm looking at the 12th chapter of a persecuted people, and God speaks to them in the letter to the Hebrews. "Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses." We've just read in the 11th chapter about Abraham, about Isaac, about Jacob, about Moses, about Sarah, about all these men and women who were people of faith, about Enoch. What is the letter telling us? We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. The church believes that. In our church, if you walk into our church, you would see the cloud of witnesses, at least some of them. Around the sanctuary, there is Mary, the mother of Jesus, and she is holding the baby Jesus. There is Teresa. There is Padre Pio. There is, of course, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. There is St. Jude. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses in our church at Holy Rosary. Now, of course, they're only statues. Of course, they're only made out of plaster. But they remind us that God has a family. And as a matter of fact, two more people were added to the saints just on Sunday. Kateri Takatwitha, Lily of the Mohawks, and Sister Mary something, who used to care for the lepers in Hawaii. And they were men, they were women of faith, and they were added to the church's calendar of saints. But, you know, I know Protestant people think that we worship saints, and it's only Jesus. Well, let me just kind of look at you just for a little while. I was with somebody the other day. I was with Ryan the other day, and he was showing me the pictures of his babies, two babies. And I'm in awe how gorgeous they are, you know, beautiful children. God, they're beautiful. He's getting awfully big, isn't he? He's only 7 or 8 months old, but he's getting awfully big. And the little girl, oh, she's gorgeous. Now, when I was saying that to Ryan, he didn't say, "Father Tom, stop looking at my kids. Start looking at me." No, he was delighted that I was looking at his children, that I was commenting about his children. He was delighted about that. You know, the saints are the children of God. When we honor the saints, we do not worship them. When we honor the saints, you know, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And when we honor the saints, the Father is pleased. He doesn't say, "Well, just look at me." No, he says, "These are my children who walked by faith, who walked by grace and faith and produced good works. These are my children who were saved by grace alone, by grace alone. These are my children. And I want you to look at them because you can take courage from their witness that you can do the same thing. See, the Lord doesn't care that we honor the saints. The Lord, like Ryan, thinks it's wonderful that he has done a great work in these people. And so we are surrounded by so great of witnesses. And then it says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. First of all, let us lay aside any sin that we are into. It might be the sin of discouragement. It might be the sin of greed. It might be the sin of impurity. Let us lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily besets us, and let us run, not walk, but run with patience, the race that is set before us. Then it tells us what we need to do. Looking unto Jesus, hallelujah, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, who gave his life for us. Looking unto Jesus, who rose from the dead. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our salvation and the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Guess who the joy that was set before him is? You. You are the joy that was set before him. That's why you are to lay aside every weight of sin, because Jesus saw you and knew that his saving death would save you. And what does it say? Looking who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He was naked and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, keep your eyes upon Jesus. Look straight in his glorious face, and the things of the world, they'll all disappear in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus always. Turn your eyes upon Jesus when things are going bad. Get your eyes fixed on Jesus. Fixed on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who endured the cross, despising its shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you know that at the throne of God, at the right hand of the Father, you have a great high priest who ever lives to make intercession for you? Do you know that? That you have a great high priest that ever lives to make intercession for you? He is at the throne of God. He is at the right hand of God, and he is praying for you. You have a great high priest. Do you know that you can enter into the Holy of Holies boldly? You don't have to cower, because we've been covered with the blood of Jesus. We can enter into the throne room and say, hallelujah, Father, we're here and we need your help because we are being persecuted. We need your help because we are being tempted. We need your help, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, because people are persecuting us. Oh, Lord, come and help us. We can enter into the Holy of Holies, not once a year, but every single day, proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord and that we are in need of his hope. And we enter into the throne room boldly, boldly, not cowering, not afraid. We can enter in because we are the children of God. We are God's children. What we shall later be has not yet come to light, but we know that when it comes to light, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Yes, who for the joy that was set before him. You are the joy that was set before Jesus. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now at the right hand of the Father, right hand at the throne of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Consider him crucified. Consider him bleeding. Consider him taking you into his heart. When I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Meditate upon Jesus. Meditate upon his cross. Meditate upon his death. Meditate upon his resurrection. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto the point of shedding your blood. Listen, they're being persecuted. But what does the writer say to the people? Consider Jesus. Consider him in his passion. Consider him in his resurrection. Consider him at the right hand of the Father. Consider him. You have not yet suffered that you've shed your blood. But you know what? You have been persecuted, and Jesus is the Lord. Look to Jesus. Don't look to the law. Look to Jesus. Don't look to circumcision. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation. Look to Jesus by grace. By grace you have been saved, and not of works, lest any man boast. Oh, look to Jesus. Wherever you are today, look to Jesus, who for the joy that lay before him, and you are that joy, that he died for you, that he suffered for you, who the joy that was laid before him, endured the cross, endured Calvary. Look to Jesus. Do not look to the left or the right. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Consider Jesus, who endured such contradiction of sinners. Yes, he died on a cross against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto the shedding your blood against striving against sin. You have not yet. And you know, even if you have to shed your blood, Hebrew Christians, I tell you, it's worth it, because you've got a great high priest, whoever lives, to make intercession for you, and he will bring you to himself. And you have forgotten the exhortation that speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. Listen to this, my friends. My friends, it is not easy to follow Jesus. It is not easy to give your life to Jesus every day. It is not easy. It is not easy, especially if you're not feeling his presence. But he is still the Lord, and he is the one who gave his life for you, and he is the one who rose from the dead for you, and he is the one that sends the Holy Spirit into your heart. Look to Jesus, and if you are under persecution, I'm going to tell you, start jumping up and down for joy, because you've got something to be persecuted for, that they would persecute you. Imagine, you know, I've been persecuted, and I'm going to tell you, I don't like it, but you know what? It's part of the package. Persecution comes as part of the package. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, we have left father, mother, sister, brother, homes, lands for your sake. What are we going to receive? And he says, you're going to receive more mothers, more brothers, more sisters, more lands, more homes, and persecution beside. It's part of the package. Persecution for the sake of Jesus. Look to Jesus. But don't be hateful, you know, trying to shove Jesus down everyone's throat. That doesn't work that way. People are looking for a witness. People looking for a witness that we have something that they want. We've got to make them jealous for what we have. We have to make them jealous for what we have. That Jesus Christ is sovereign, and he is Lord of our life. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. You've not yet shed blood for him, but maybe you might have to. And don't worry about the liturgy in the temple. Don't worry about that. You have a great high priest who gave his life for you. You have a great high priest who sits at the Father's right hand, who is interceding for you. And you can boldly enter into the throne of grace. Here I am, Lord. I'm your son. By grace, I'm your son. Hallelujah. By grace, I come to you and I say, Lord, heal your people. Heal everyone who listens to me. Heal them from sickness. Heal them from kidney disease. Heal them now, Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus of eyesight. Be healed in the name of Jesus so that you see. Be healed in your throats in the name of Jesus Christ. We enter the glorious, glorious presence of God, and boldly we can say, in the name of Jesus, knees be healed. In the name of Jesus, breathing problems be healed now. Be healed now by the grace of the living God. We enter openly into the throne room of God, and we enter proudly that we have a great high priest, whoever lives, to make intercession for him. Consider him, consider Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners. and that you are being chastened. You are being chastened by the Lord. It's okay. It's going to pass. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father doesn't chasten? Yes, chastening means that we are sons of the Father. Remember that I am the vine and you are the branches, and those branches that don't produce much fruit, he prunes. Chastening are being pruned so that we could produce much more fruit. You know, this is all part of living for Jesus. You know, it's because sometimes, you know, we see these Hebrew Christians looking to the temple, and they're looking to the temple and they're not looking to Jesus. They're not looking to the saints who are around Jesus. They're not looking to what they're going to receive when they die and what they have now, that they have been saved by grace. You have been saved by grace and not by works, lest any man boast. But if you be without chastening, all who are partakers, then are you illegitimate and not sons of God. If God doesn't care enough to prune us, then we are illegitimate sons of God. We are not his sons. We are illegitimate. We have been adopted by Jesus Christ as he shed his blood for us, and we received that adoption through faith and baptism. Hallelujah. I was adopted as a son of God at 40 days old, but you know what? When I was 21, I said to Jesus, I give you my life. I give you all my life. I give you my breath. I give you everything I endure. I give you everything. It belongs to you. You gave it to me. I give it back to you. Take, Lord, receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, my entire will. Give me only your grace. That's enough for me. I give you everything. I give you everything. Help us to be subject unto the Father of spirits and live. For they verily for a few days were chastened after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Jesus died for you. You know that those words, that Jesus died for you. Consider him who was whipped. Consider him who was chastised. Consider him who was spit upon. Consider him who was rejected of men. Consider him who looked more like an animal than like a person on the cross. Consider him who was naked. For your sake, for your sake, for your sake. That's why we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, because of what Jesus has done for us. Keeping your eyes fixed upon Jesus. How often do I need to say that? Because it's so easy to fix your eyes on your troubles. It's so easy to fix your eyes on your pain. It's so easy to fix your eyes on being persecuted. It's so easy. It's so easy. So the Lord says, keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus. Don't turn to the left or the right. This Jesus will help you through what you're going through. But you've got to trust him. If you do not trust him, nothing happens. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not against your own understanding. Trust in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Please keep your eyes on Jesus today. Don't keep your eyes on the court case. Don't keep your eyes on the divorce case. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look straight in his wonderful face, and the cares of the earth will grow dimly still in the warmth of his love and his grace. I turn my eyes upon Jesus. I look straight in his glorious face, and the cares of this world are growing dimly still in the warmth of his glory and grace. Do you want to know what it says before that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses? It says the verse before 40, verse 40, chapter 11, God having provided something better for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. He's talking about the Old Testament saints. He's talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah. He's talking about all these people, Moses and Abel and Enoch. He's saying, having provided something better for us, he provides Jesus. That they, the Old Testament saints, without us, should not be made perfect. Without us, who have received the King of Kings, who keep our eyes upon Jesus, who have given Jesus our very heart, the saints of the Old Testament, without us, will not be made perfect. But with us, because we have seen the Lord, because we have kept our eyes fixed upon Jesus, that with us, these saints that surround us are made perfect because Jesus has come, and because Jesus has given his life for us, and because we have believed by grace that Jesus is the Son of God. Imagine, the Old Testament saints are made perfect because of us who believe in Christ. That's amazing. That is an amazing statement. That is an amazing, and not many people teach on it, but I love it. That's Hebrews 11, verse 40. Having provided something better for us, that's Jesus, that they, that's the Old Testament saints, without us should not be made perfect. That they, without us, should not be made perfect. Oh, Father, I thank you today that we have Jesus. I thank you today that I keep my eyes now fixed upon Jesus. I consider him who endured such treatment from sinners like me, who was scourged and who was crowned with thorns and who was spat upon and who was naked. Father, I consider Jesus and I keep my eyes upon Jesus, because now, as he is the great high priest on the cross, he ascended into heaven after his resurrection, and he sits at the Father's right hand and he pours out the Holy Spirit upon us. I keep my eyes upon Jesus, and I remember today, Father, that the Old Testament saints are surrounding us, and the New Testament saints, Peter and Paul, they're surrounding us. But the Old Testament saints are made perfect because of us who believe in Jesus. The Old Testament saints are made perfect, for without us, they would not be perfect. I tell you, this is a great and awesome verse from the last verse of Hebrews 11. So what do you gain from today? Keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And you're going to be tempted to take your eyes off of him, because things are going to happen today and you're going to start worrying. No, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Keep looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation. No matter what happens today, keep looking upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's my word to you today. I hope you heard it. I said it enough. And guess who's going to have to live it today? I'm going to have to live it today. And guess who's going to be tempted to take his eyes off of Jesus today? Just take three guesses. First two don't count. Me. But you know what? Pray for me that I keep my eyes upon Jesus. I'm talking about November 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. Days of glory. Hallelujah. It's going to be wonderful. Maria Vadia is going to be there. I'm going to be there. Sister Linda Coons is going to be there. It's at the Crown Plaza Holiday Inn. Crown Plaza Holiday Inn in Woburn, Mass. The website, daysofglory.org. Daysofglory.org. You can come for a day. You can come for the whole 4 days. But you have to go to daysofglory.org. Or you can go to this telephone number, take it down, 847-962-7307, 847-962-7307. People come from Canada, people come from all around the country to be with us, people come from Florida to be with us. This is so important. Days of Glory. We'll be worshiping the Lord. We'll be praising His holy name. We'll be looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation. Keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus. The telephone number to call is 847-962-7307. 847-962-7307. And on the World Wide Web, daysofglory.org. Daysofglory.org. November 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. You are welcome to come and to spend time with us in praising the Lord, because He is worthy of our praise. We'll be hearing people speak the Word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I'm telling you, keep your eyes upon Jesus today. Look straight into His glorious face, and the cares of this world will grow dimly still in the warmth of His glory and grace. Hallelujah. Turn your whole self upon Jesus, even if you feel like a penny waiting for change. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and you are surrounded by saints, whether you believe it or not, and they are interceding with the great high priest. They are interceding with the great high priest, and God doesn't consider that as taking glory from Him, because His children are the saints who surround us with the glory of God. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.